this club's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Can you believe it?
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we are bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Sir, how you doing? How you doing? European Knights are back. Tough game. Tough 1-0 defeat to Barcelona at home. First leg, quarterfinals, Champions League. So we put it all on the line. Couldn't get a goal.
It was a hard-fought match. I think the match kicked off kind of how we thought. Barcelona all in. And we were like, oh, no, here we go again. PSG 2.0. But the boys had fight. They had fight in them. Just like I said on Twitter before the match, I just want them to go out there and really just play for the badge. And I think you can't say they didn't do that. I mean, a few people on the Twitterverse getting mad at certain players for not getting crosses in. But defensively, we looked solid.
Wonder who that was.
We came in hard in tackles. We let them know that they were in a cold night in Manchester, and that's all I can ask from the boys.
They certainly rose to the occasion. We kind of hit this a bunch of times in the last pod. It was all about how you respond, the attitude that you approach the game. Dude, they gave it all. They went for it. I think tactically, Ole got it right in terms of positioning and trying to nullify Barcelona. Let's get into that.
Maybe he gave him too much respect. Ole went with a 3-5-2. We had Dave Saves, world number one in net. Shaw, Smalling, Lindelof, back three. Shaw there. I didn't really rate him in that position, but him and Dalot on that left-hand side tried to neutralize Barcelona's big attack. We had Dalot on the left wing, Pogba, Fred, McTominay in the midfield three, and Ashley Young on the right wing. We had Lukaku and Rashford up top. What did you think about this lineup when it came out, sir?
Sir, I mean, I didn't get any of the midfield mainstays that we've had in Mata Torreira. So Fred and McTominay.
Your boy Fred.
Looks like the future. My boy Fred and McSauce getting a big chance to repeat his magic formula after, you know, that night in Paris. So
I called that out on the last pod, McTominay getting the start. I mean, he's got the energy. He's a youngster. He's proven it through each managerial role at Manchester United.
Always been rated.
Yeah, always been rated, and
for good reason, because he had a big night, stepped up in a major way. Him and Fred had massive games. So when I saw it, I was excited to see him playing, you know, but it's always a big task against Barcelona. They got some firepower in their starting 11, sir.
I thought we should have won with the back four. I don't know why Ole decided to switch it up, because everyone kind of freaked out that Ashley Young was playing on the right-hand side. And early on, I tweeted out, Dalot on the left killing it, Ashley Young just can't do that role. He can't play that right wing back like he used to back in the day. So I do think he was there for defensive, not offensive purposes. And boy, did he get slated crosses.
I mean, he had a terrible game. He had the worst game of anyone in a Manchester United shirt on the day. I mean, I'm going to say
one goal, Barcelona at Old Trafford. I would say that's not the worst game that we could have played. A lot of fans would say, hey, you only get let in one. Messi won't even be on the score sheet. You go to Barcelona, you got a shot, way better shot than you had at PSG. I actually think Barcelona, in the back of their mind, they're going to be worried. They're going to be like, we have nothing to lose.
We got nothing to lose, but let's go back to the tactics for a second. I think he got it right. I just think he shuffled around a little bit and hopefully get Dalot on that.
Well, who else would be on the right?
Player. Well, if you didn't have Shaw in the back three, if you had another competent center back in a Bailly or a Rojo that you could play there, you could play Shaw on the left wing back position. You could play Dalot on the right wing back position. And Young was in. Actually, the formation seemed to work. It's just that Young can't get a ball in for his life. So, you know, Lukaku had no surface. Rashford had no service, but it was working. They were vulnerable on the counter, and we could get why. They had no service all game. And, you know, maybe it's too much to ask of Ashley Young, but it's probably time to upgrade that right back position, sir, either way.
Well, he probably would have been better off playing in the back three
versus
out on the wing. Like you said, Shaw on the left and Dalot on the right. You put Smalling, Lindelof, and Young there. Again, he's still liability, but going forward, clearly he's not coming off. And I do think that regardless, Ole got the tactics. I think you have to say right, especially how the team was conservative going in towards the end of the game, protecting that one goal deficit. Because going into Camp Nou, we score a goal, we're going to pens. It's even on away goals. And if we score two, Barcelona has a mountain to climb, so to speak. Either way, let's jump into the match. It was an exciting one. European lights at Old Trafford. Like we said, the game kicked off, and Barca right down our throats, sir. Messi doing a job. Barcelona pinging the ball back and forth. And in the fifth minute, Rashford takes a nice pop from a free kick 25 yards out. Not too far off the mark. Again, I feel like I'm watching the U.S. men's national team when free kicks are going to be our best shots. How are you feeling after this Rashford chance?
Hey, no shame in set pieces, getting goals against set pieces against big teams like Barcelona. Because to be honest, that's like, we've got size. That's a good way to take advantage of a team like them. So Rashford, dude, he had a bunch of our best chances. Unfortunately, none on target. No one had any shots on target all day for us. But that was a good chance, bro. And that was an early chance. And it would have been good at least to hit target.
Yeah, he's not quite Ronaldo on the free kicks. Has a little bit of work to do. But again, we didn't have to wait long. The pressure build up from Barcelona in the 13th minute.
There's so much passing on to do. It's a lovely ball by Busquets for Messi. Header far post. Goal. Suarez. Certainly Messi onside from that little run. Definitely Suarez onside. Goal given, rightly so. For those who champion VAR, that is certainly a plus. The officials, with their one view at it in the stadium, got the wrong call, no offside.
What a sloppy goal to give up. I mean, Busquets, his pass, that's class. Messi, the no look back to Suarez. But again, an own goal in some ping pong fashion. Dave Saves out of position, Luke Shaw out of position. So tough goal to give up in the first 13 minutes. That's like a do not. If you read the manual at Barcelona home, do not concede early.
No, you don't want to do that, especially a goal like that, which is not a top draw goal from a team like Barcelona. Shaw probably getting caught out of position, you know, probably unfamiliar about where he's supposed to be doing while playing in a back three in that situation. I think he thinks someone's there to cover him. They're not. And then it just hits off his hip and it ends up being an own goal and just honestly unlucky, especially after the team seemed to, you know, there's a little bit of a 5 minute, 10 minute interlude after we gave up this goal. We did respond well and we stepped up and we certainly gave it a go, sir.
Yeah, we were shook right after conceding. Ole trying to sell the boys down. And then we started finding our fight. Barcelona surprisingly looked shook. We started pressing, like you said, on the last podcast, get in their face, make it messy. pardon the pun. In the 28th minute, McTominay brought down the box by PK. I mean, this is a pretty light penalty shot, sir. What did you think?
It's probably not. I mean, it's probably too fortunate to expect to get a penalty in this instance, but I thought I'd call it on the pod because we didn't have a lot of chances, sir.
Hey, the ex-Manchester United defender for Barcelona, any other center back would have leaned into that a little more, probably would have been a pen, but he pirouetted away from the contact so perfectly.
He's class, dude. He's a great player.
He's a, I mean, top draw defender. It's a shame we let him go. Clearly, his heart has always been with Barcelona, so we can't really slate Pique for not staying at Manchester United. But again, it was also nice to hear him talk about coming back to Old Trafford, how it was a special place, because he obviously did play with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer of all the players there.
He did.
In the 30th minute, this is a great moment in the game. Mike Smalling, pretty much, I think his hand ended up cutting Messi's nose and the top of his eyelid. I mean, this was a crunching 50-50 header that Mike Smalling won. Must be all that milk he's drinking, all those strong. He's confident in those strong bones. But I thought this was the moment Messi goes down, and I tweeted out, that is why you don't see Messi playing in England.
You get a little bit of the Sergio Ramos treatment, right? It's like, I know a way to break down Messi, and it's basically, Ramos does it, you just batter the hell out of him, and he did it. And I think that was instructions from Ole, is like, you got to play physical with this team and show them what English football is all about. And I think we brought the intensity. I think the boys were going in and putting some real tackles, and Smalling with no small task of guarding Suarez, bro. And he's like, by the end of the game, was play acting, you know, taking fake hits. But good to see, bro. Messi get a little bit of like a, well, you know, I am Mike Smalling, milk drinker. Remember the name.
And this is what we saw around the pitch. I mean, whether it be McTominay or Fred, players making really aggressive challenges all over the pitch. Exactly what I asked the boys to do. We're not going to out pirouette Barcelona, but we do need to kind of put in a stiff challenge, let them know that they're in Manchester and it is red, sir, not light blue. And that's what we did. So hats off to the boys and Mike Smalling letting Lionel Messi know what's up. 36th minute, Dave saves. De Gea made a world-class save on Coutinho. Reaction stuff off his foot. I thought this was going to be 2-0. And then In the 38th, Busquets gave away another free kick on Paul Pogba. Pogba marauding through the center of the pitch, had Busquets beat, and he kind of shifts his weight in front of him. Clear foul, kind of pulling him from behind. Should have been a second yellow, was not a second yellow, sir. What did you think of that call?
He got away with this one. I mean, but there's another shout in the second half that's even worse. But
Busquets, this is a second yellow.
It has
for
to
sure.
be, right? Outside the box, I mean, I think it's a clear-cut thing. And Busquets got one early, so they skirted, bro. I mean, they tend to
skirt.
This
is an English player?
Oh, no.
In Barca?
No way you get... Oh.
It's a second yellow. In Barca? 100%, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And that's one thing about these referees in the Champions League. It's almost like they're biased against English clubs. I don't think in Europe, English football clubs, based on the fan bases, tearing up their cities.
I think it was the hooliganism from the 80s and 90s that left a bad mark in bad taste in a lot of like Italians' mouths.
Yeah, and we had an Italian Spanish referee, mouth. And he looks the other way with Sergio Busquets. It's a tough call. I want to say that was on the line. Usually with that second yellow, it has to be Ashley Young egregious in order to be given. So this was right on the touch the line for me. I thought it should have been a sending off because in the UCL, it's usually called a little lighter, right? There's more yellows for lighter challenges than the EPL, so I felt this qualified for a Champions League foul, maybe not English Premier League foul.
And I think based on the way that he had been officiating in the game up to this point, you know, where he was in the field, how close he was to the box, that is a yellow, you know, that should be a yellow card.
Goddamn Busquets. In the 40th minute, DeLow, this is like a great spell of play for Manchester United, really getting at him. And we were winning second balls, driving at Barcelona, really direct play, keeping it in their half. I saw them kick the ball out of bounds a few times. Yep. I've never seen Barcelona this shook. The announcers.
That high press, baby.
I mean, look at our side. Look at our midfield compared to theirs. It's unbelievable that we saw this effort from the boys. And a lot of fans whining, complaining we didn't score. I mean, we didn't get our cake and eat it too, but we saw an amazing performance from the boys under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. I mean, with injuries, everything as you'd like, and they came out fighting, and we had this opportunity in the 40th minute, clear cross, and DeLow opened at the back post, but couldn't get it on target. I think he was trying to head it across goal. His brain must have short-circuited. He is a young lad, and he did squander this chance, but again, watching the replay, Ter Stegen was in place. There's a few Barcelona defenders on the line, so it wasn't as clear cut.
It would have to be a hell of an effort.
It was a chance.
It would have been, half a chance. But you know what? This game is going to be decided for us by half chances, and you need to make hopefully something out of it, but you can't ask him to do much of that because how often is DeLow in the box crashing out a header when it's not a corner? But good chance for him nonetheless.
Really a tale of two halves within the first half, sir. 13 minutes in, we concede. Then all of a sudden, we start punching back. Barcelona looking soft as hell. Old Trafford rocking. Going in halftime, I thought we were set. I thought we could score. I thought Barcelona was like, oh, we aren't up for this challenge. So how are you feeling it going in halftime?
I think the first half gave the boys some confidence, right? The boys, Fred had some good European performances before he joined United at Shakhtar. But, you know, a chance for McTominay to show that he is up to the challenge. And he was a standout in the first half. I think that just gives players like that, players like Fred who are struggling at United, that they have the confidence to go against one of the best teams in the world and go toe-to-toe with them. And I think they came out in the second half and looked even stronger. It was just, that's a hard team to break down, bro. You think Wolves are hard to break down. Even Barca on your day, I think we played better than the second day, you know, than on the away end of Paris. This is like a hell of a performance because at the end of the day, you're playing Barcelona and they're a great club. They're hard to score against.
Sir, let's get into the second half, 49th minute. Cheeky Busquets blocks the ball with his arm outside the box. Should have been sent off with another yellow. Busquets probably had three shots at a yellow card. Did not get one. Again, given the slow motion replay, clearly a yellow, but at full speed. I don't know if the ref had a good angle.
But this is like that UCL, you know, the Champions League bias towards these Spanish clubs because they gave Shaw a yellow for this, and it's a little harsh, but you give Shaw a yellow, you got to be giving Busquets a yellow. It's outside the box. It's like the same thing that got us the penalty in Paris, and you're using VAR to overturn an OG goal offsides. I think you can look at this one too, bro.
It's second
call.
I don't think we need more replays for this. I mean, it is a big call, but again, I think it's ref's discretion here, and the referee, maybe at a bad angle. I'm going to call it, basically say,
could
leave it up,
sir,
to that. Hard to say. Again, whining about a second yellow for Busquets. I don't know if it would have meant the game for us. You know, Barcelona probably still could have held out for the 1-0. United come out punching, try to bring it to Barca. at the Theater of Dreams. The only problem is everything is going through Ashley Young on the right-hand side, sir, and he can't cross the street, sir. That's
a little cheeky banter here.
Breakdown. I'm going to say everyone get on Ashley Young, as they should, but again, he is the captain, and he has done a job for us this year. I don't think he's like this big money signing we brought in who didn't work out. Clearly,
he's
being played out of position, probably for his age. Playing him at wing back, he's not there for offense. I don't think Ole didn't look at that formation and put him there because he's like, Ashley Young's going to cross it in, and we're going to score, and he's going to be our offensive strategy. But I think Ole was like trying to get his nil-nil.
A lot of it was going through Ashley Young on the right wing, because it was just where we exposed space when we turned the ball over from Barcelona. It seemed to go to the right, and Ashley Young would find space, and he always hesitated to get the ball into the box. So he would like do a juke and then try and get the ball in when it's all about that first time ball, because we had gotten the ball to the position by being quick and
Like fans don't remember that if Barcelona came to Old Trafford, Sir Alex would play defensively. He wouldn't play a sexy player on their wing trying to score goals.
I had no problem with how he played, but he's in that position.
He was put on that field, that formation, and him playing there was for defense. That was the primary role that he had, was to not let in so many goals that when we go to the Camp Nou, that is not over. And I'm going to say he did that job.
We probably go out with the same formation next time. He's not playing the same spot.
I want to complain that we didn't win. I want to complain we didn't score 5 goals. But at the end of the day, if you look at the formation and the tactics that Ole put out, Ashley Young is not playing there to beat a man and bend it top corner. He's playing there to do a job defensively. And I'm going to say only letting up 1 goal, however many times it gave away the ball or put in a bad cross, I would say tactically it worked out. And who else are you going to play there, sir?
Ashley Young's number one fan. Who else? This is really an indictment of Manchester United's, oversight, bro. The fact that we haven't replaced Ashley Young yet, he's still our go-to right back.
I said, look, he did a job.
He did.
And we're going to get Juan Bissaka. And next season, Juan Bissaka will come in, and he'll be much better for Manchester United than Ashley Young. He's duct tape. You know, Ole's playing Barcelona with duct tape.
That's true.
One's giving us credit for that, right?
No, I think Ole.
We're getting a result with him in our side. I wish we had someone who could go forward. But again, playing at home, we're trying not to concede. That's really what it's about.
That's a good point. So we'll see what he comes out with in the second leg, sir.
Probably Ashley Young. I think
no Juan Bissaka. There's no Juan Bissaka in the back room waiting for us.
I'm going to say 4-3-3. I think you got to go for it. Hopefully, we'll have some interplayers back. And yeah, it's going to be a tight turnaround. And I think Barcelona's going to sweat it. Jumping into the match, 65th minute, Barcelona with their best chance of the game. Suarez hits the side netting laser from the. I don't even need to say, he who should not be named, Luis Suarez. Do not like him. Do not like that man.
He hasn't changed much. A lot of diving.
I think he's a little rattled playing at Old Trafford. He knows those fans don't like him. Memories of him not shaking Ever's hand because he's a racist. Somehow that didn't get brought up in the pregame commentary, considering all the racism in football, all those headlines coming out.
Memories are very short. Luis Suarez gets a free pass.
For how he, I mean, it's absolutely disgusting. And Liverpool FC wore T-shirts to support him during that row with Patrice Evra. I mean, again, you can't get lower on this planet than Luis Suarez. Somehow Messi is his buddy. Speaks volumes of Barca. 66th minute sub Martial for Lukaku. Frenchman comes on, starts working some magic. Again, no finished product from Martial. Been a while since we saw that Fulham screamer, sir. 73rd minute, sub Lingard for Dalot. Again, fresh legs coming on. Lingard did get a yellow, quick off. And then 85th minute, Martial is denied a great chance after Pique intervenes. McTominay with an unbelievable pass. And he also owns Vidal with that turn that he did in the box. McTominay, a few great turns on Barcelona. He looks like he should be playing on Barcelona based on how good he was handling. I think he had that chance or the opportunity with 3 different defenders on him, got out of it, then passed it wide to Ashley Young. The youngster looking superb. And 85th minute, this is who I wanted to see, Pereira on for Rashford. Pereira comes on, but it's too little too late. By that time, Ole already just wanted to clean up shop, take the 1 goal hit, and then go to the Camp Nou.
We got a big game on Saturday as well, sir. We have a league game that we have to win, must win. The definition of a must-win game.
Top 4?
I think some of these subs, like, I actually thought we were playing better before the subs were made. I thought, you know, before you brought off Lukaku and Dalot, we were playing pretty good. And then, I don't know, we weren't clicking as much. But I think this is like, you know, you shut down shop. You don't want to concede anymore. If you can get them on the counter, great. But it looks like let's just shut down shop. And we got a you know, we got to get 3 points at West Ham at home, actually.
Yeah, match reaction possession. United 34% of the ball, Barcelona 66%. To be expected against Barca. Shots on target. Wish we would have had one. We had none. Barcelona had three. Again, not too many. We had 10 total shots to their six. But again, on target counts. Manchester United have lost three consecutive home Champions League knockout stage games for the first time ever.
There you go.
Yeah.
Enjoy it.
Regardless, that I'm going to take that result. The Twitterverse, everyone was freaking out. Everyone's freaking out that we didn't win. Everyone's in a bad mood. And it's kind of one of those things where, like, be grateful with what you got. Going into that game, 1-0 at home.
Against Barcelona.
Anyone would have taken it. Now, after watching the game and saw that we had the fight, we had some chances. Everyone's like, Lukaku sucks. Ashley Young sucks. A lot of people slating a lot of players online. Clearly, McTominay getting some praise, but, you know, pretty difficult.
Well, here's the thing, bro. There's dumb Twitter and there's smart Twitter. And dumb Twitter just talks about the result. Smart Twitter talks about the performance. And this performance, you have to look...
Wait, there's dumb Twitter?
Of course. There's dumb and smart Twitter. There's more of it's dumb Twitter than smart
Twitter.
I'm
going to call it outrage Twitter.
I think it's all outrage.
Hey, man!
But either way, you got to look at the team that was available, right? Like, no Herrera, no Matic. The boy, Fred and McTominay were standouts in this game. Totally stepped up.
Martial, Lingard coming back from injury.
Coming back from injury. Maybe Herrera back in the fold. Maybe Matic back in the fold. Everything's still left to play for. So they're very hard. This is not PSG away, bro. This is Barcelona at the Camp Nou. So we're going to need a special performance.
Look at the difference in the rosters. Look at the difference in the players. This Manchester United side versus them. Are you kidding me? If it's not 3-0 at home, I mean, that is a win. That is in the good column. We are going to think about PSG.
We played better than PSG at home.
And here's the reason. PSG on the counter looks better. I mean, Mbappe, Barcelona try to like just tighten the screws like Man City and hope they can just unlock it in the final third with some amazing magic, which Messi did produce, and they did get that goal. But when you come at them and you punch them in the mouth, they look like baby bitches. The baby bitches that we know that the Spaniards are. And that's what I love to see from Manchester United. And having that fight in the boys, we should get a goal away at the Camp Nou, and we just can't concede. So it's good to be all in. Ole's going to go all in. I have confidence in my manager and the tactics. He got it right at home.
Definitely.
Tightened, you know, a little defensive. And at Camp Nou, we're going to go for it.
That's smart. It's smart to be defensive because you know the impact and the importance of away goals. So you don't want to give away too many. You just can't make it more of a mountain to climb. One is enough of a mountain to climb at the Camp Nou. So, dude, good performance, good tactics from Ole. The team responded the right way under the circumstances. A big opponent, you know, the starting 11 that he pulled out. So carry on, bro. Let's roll on to the next match.
This was Barcelona's fourth Champions League victory against Manchester United, with each one coming in a different stadium. Don't need to remember these, sir. Manchester United have lost four of their last six Champions League home games. Wow, this is all bad news.
happens when you lose.
I mean, we're going to scrap the match reaction here. We're just going to go with that positive reaction. Boys did well. Team came together. Hell of a performance. I'm going to say Pogba, he was a little MIA, but some people on Twitter did say if you're at the match, you could see all the work he was doing off the ball.
He was running.
I'm going to say
he wasn't jogging.
Yeah.
He could have gotten Busquets sent off, to be fair.
Yeah, the only criticism with a Pogba in that situation is we want him to grab the game by the scuff of the neck like he did at City away last year and win it. We want him to win it. He's our Messi. Messi's got the goal against us, and we need to get Pogba to get two against Barcelona. And until he kind of has that big under-the-lights moment at Manchester United and proves his £90 million worth, like he did in that game against City, you know, it's people are going to criticize him. People are going to criticize him, especially with all the flirting with Madrid in the press. So fairly or unfairly, Pogba's getting a little shtick in the Twitterverse, but I'm going to say it's related to the fact you want him to be the player to step up.
Team's all built around him. It's the biggest stage in the world, bro.
McTominay stepped up, right?
He did step up. Fred stepped up. Fred had a huge game. You need Pogba to step up because the rest of the midfield did, and he should be the best player on the field, arguably. So we need a huge performance, bro. If we're going to get anything out of Paris, he's going to be on that field, and we need him to step up big time.
You mean anything out of Barca?
What did I say, Paris? Oh, shit.
My mind's in Paris, too, sir. I thought we won the Champions League final in Paris.
Right? Isn't it just like qualified? Yeah, getting past the round of 16?
Hey, what do we know? Let's check in with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Hey, how did you rate his performance?
I think at times
He did well, and well, he was tired towards the end. And but you can see when he came off, we lacked that physical threat that he gave us. Runs down the channel, so Romelu played his part in us putting them under pressure. No, we didn't create chances. He didn't get on the end of any big chances. So I don't think tonight is about Romelu Lukaku or Rashford. It's us as a team today. We started a bit slow, and never got going until they scored.
What can you say about the performance of Scott McTominay and his development since he came in? Since you came in,
the boy's developing every time he plays. He comes into training every day with a fantastic attitude, and that's the way to improve. And every game he plays, he grows and he grows. And today he was the one that, maybe he was the first one, took the ball down, settled us, and so we can, because we had to slow the game down. We were too quick to give the ball away. And after 15, 20 minutes, I thought we settled a bit, and Scott and Fred were, and Paul, the three in midfield, did really well.
Sir, I mean, we're playing FC Barcelona, and the manager is praising Scott McTominay. It's 2019, right? I mean, this is good stuff for next season. You know, you really got to look towards next season. There's a chance we can win the Champions League. But again, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer are hitting at the right points. We have great players who are stepping up against the biggest teams in Europe, right?
Hey, you got to think about the future, right? We're unfortunately, looks like we're entering another rebuild. There's going to be a lot of probably goings and comings in this summer. But there's a lot of positives because Ole is definitely bringing the right spirit around the club. He's showing that he believes in young players that are willing to step up to the occasion. It's great that Fred spent a lot of money finally coming due. Hopefully he can show that same confidence and capability in England. And Scott, dude, an academy player, following Rashford's lead, Lingard's lead, just like this team will always find a place for an academy player if they can provide and add value to the club. And McTominay, like, it doesn't make you miss the fact that Herrera looks like he's leaving as much, that Scott McTominay is stepping up in such a major way.
Herrera leaving over money, we'll get to that later, but it's hard to take, sir. That's hard to take either way. But don't be a day trader on this club. Like, look at the fundamentals. The fundamentals are strong. This performance was a great result for us. I don't care what anyone says. Sir Alex Ferguson play defensive in the first fixture in the Champions League. Always, I mean, that he played too defensively in, as far as I was concerned, especially against Barcelona.
He would have been going for a 0-0 in this game.
Yeah, absolutely, because he knew he could pip him.
Exactly,
and we might pip him. So, stay tuned next week. Huge game, sir. I hope we continue our Champions League run. It'd be great to see Juventus again. That'd be a real storyline.
Too much.
Sir, let's get to Alex's Daily Mail headlines tomorrow today. History of the headlines.
Starting with a common theme, sir. Oy vey, Ed. Between Ashley Young being our starting right back, Herrera's contract running down so we can join PSG on the free, or Sanchez blowing up our wage structure, the rot starts at the top and it starts with Ed. If he doesn't back Ole in the summer, we are cooked.
Hashtag Woodward350.
Because, dude, Ole's instilling the right thing. He's got good support around him in terms of Phelan, McKenna, Carrick. But we need to, dude, this club needs to add some players. We need to get some players out, and we're going to have to spend some real money, some serious cash, dude. And it might not be 350, but it's at least like 250 with some, you know, net.
I would say 250 net, but 350 out the door.
No doubt.
Like, yeah. I when I say 350, I don't mean 350 net. I mean, just we're going to have to spend 350. Total.
350. Total, yeah, the check will say 350.
I'm going to credit that to one of our followers on Twitter. We'll get to a tweet he sent later, but he coined like the South Park episode, 350. I ain't give no Loch Ness Monster 350. Woodward's like, I ain't giving no fans 350.
We're like 150.
We'll give 150. Next headline, sir.
Ooh, and we just talked about it, but the kid is certainly all right. Fool me one, shame on me, but McTominay had a coming out party in Paris, but Scott showed another class last night against one of the best teams in the world. This kid has a bright future. And that's what manager after manager has spotted, bro. This young Scotsman is a stud in the making.
Yeah, we're fans of the kid on the pod, sir. Next headline.
And sure, there's smoke, but should fans expect fire? All the journos have been running the story of a major rebuild this summer. Is Ole going to be given a massive war chest? Yay. Or is it going to be more short-sighted Glazer economics? What do you think, sir? I mean, we're hearing a lot about it, right?
At the end of the day, it's Glazer out. It's Woodward out. Hashtag Glazeward out. Glazewood.
Unless we get that 350, bro.
They're looking at selling the club, so for them to spend the cash, it doesn't seem like they might get that value back right away. Again, I think they're going to do a lot of clever restructuring on the wage side of things, getting rid of players out of contract. I do like the idea of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer being more involved with Ed Woodward, getting the right players. I think buying young talent. I've heard from a few members of Class 96 that essentially Manchester United are going back to their old ways of buying young English prospects. So the top are the best players in the English Premier League coming up.
That was the story they ran.
The Sancho, he's not in the Premier League.
The Declan Rice's.
Exactly. And I would be very happy with those three players at Manchester United as far as how much it would take to get there. Probably too much money. Maybe that Joao Moutinho, a little more exotic, a little more high risk of a signing there. But I do like the idea of young English talent, bring him into Manchester. And
young talent in general. I like young talent in
Alderweireld as well.
Right? Like
Trippier. I heard Spurs could be selling a lot of players as well. So I mean
DeLow, dude, we got that one. That one got spot on, right? £19 million for a 19-year-old, and he is working out like he's going to be quite a player. So when you have a $19 million, you have less to lose, right? If he goes bad, you lose $20 million, but it's like...
Hey, I like that idea of going young, but we shall see. Woodward's going to have to prove us wrong. The way I look at his last two transfer windows, Woodward is, he's just stacking that cash so high.
He just owes us
£350 million, sir. At the end of the day, there's no other way to say it. Jumping in the Twitterverse, let's get to the Muppetry, the reaction at United's update. McTominay versus Barcelona, 100% defensive aerials won, 100% tackles won, 80% pass accuracy, 5 recoveries, 3 fouls in the middle of third, and 2 for 3 on take-ons. Hashtag MUFC, McSauce all over the pitch, showing why he's a boss. And I mean, when people are talking about McTominay against Barcelona, not Paul Pogba, I mean, the kid has to do a job, which he did.
That tells you something. Good point, sir. Sweet and sour McSauce, bro. Just like putting in an unbelievable performance and outshining our £89 million man. Tells you something. That tells you the academy, you can still lean on it.
And Ole Gunnar Solskjaer made the right move, put him in the starting 11. So, I mean, credit the manager for believing in the kid to play him at home against FC Barcelona.
Hey, he did it in Paris.
Next tweet at Red Mancurian. Quote, this is from Paul Pogba. Quote, we saw a team we can beat. If you don't believe that, then you just let them go through. We believe we can beat them. We are Manchester United. They are Barcelona, but we are MUFC. And we play in the Champions League like they do, and we can go through. From Paul Pogba. I mean, I think he said the same thing over and over and over there in that quote. I don't think it's the most eloquent quote, but Paul Pogba saying we can beat Barcelona. That's, and I like that mentality. I mean, it's almost captain-like words, sir.
It's good to hear it back. But he's right? Because a tie is never done, and we need to go in. And this was a great thing to build on. I think that it showed the boys can play at their level. You got to play top-notch, and it takes a lot to get a goal out of it. But we can certainly go toe-to-toe. I mean... Still might not get knocked out of the tie, but I think we're going to go with knowing that they have a chance.
Yeah, and we're going to go out guns blazing as we should under Ole. And one thing I thought about this match while it was going on was this could be do wonders for our confidence. We go to play West Ham, right? We go to play teams in the English Premier League. If we can play up to Barcelona, we should be smoking them. It adds that little bit of confidence the boys need this final push.
I think you play the same midfield.
Yeah,
I mean, they played so well. It's like, all right, do it again. You're on midfield.
There's going to be rotation just because it's a tight turnaround this weekend, and it's West Ham. We can't be getting the boys tired ahead of Barcelona. We need to have some sort of rotation. Right?
But we got it. We can't underestimate West Ham, right? We got to win that game.
The Hammers next tweet at MUFC_Dan87. Ooh, this is going to get into one. Ashley Young needs Binnen, but these issues isn't him. The issue is supposed biggest club in the world has to play a former Aston Villa winger at right back almost 50 games a season, or a failed ex-Wigan winger instead of him, but we shouldn't criticize the owners ever. Not exactly perfect English there.
But it sounds like Woodward out, Glazer's out.
It sounds like he's hitting it at a really critical point. Why are we still playing Ashley Young or Antonio Valencia at right back when they're initially wingers, aged, and then we have them doing like a utility job, which is fine. But for Manchester United, we're supposed to be, making top four, winning the league, getting silverware, and we are handicapped. But I do have to say, over the 50 games, Ashley Young has done a job, hasn't gotten injured. And defensively, I mean, you've said it yourself. You've taken it back a few times. You're not a fan, but you said, hey, he's doing a job. So at the end of the day, who else are you going to play there? I mean,
it's not his fault that he has to play there.
Yeah, my defense is people are going to be slating me after this podcast, praising Ashley Young, and I don't like him going forward, but who else is going to do the job? Who else are you going to put there? You can't play McTominay there.
DeLow?
Yeah, I mean, you could try DeLow. He's better playing farther up the pitch, right?
Well, he was playing on the left. He should have been playing on the right. Put Shaw up. I think.
But we don't have a lot of depth.
No,
there's not
but
a lot of options,
I think
right?
You pointed this out when we talked about the lineup. I think he's going to go with a more attacking-minded wingback pairing when we're in Barcelona, because we have to go for a goal, and an away goal counts for more.
Exactly. Next tweet from the USA Red Devils, our Twitter account. Sir, if you don't follow it, you should follow it on Twitter. Quote, today was a much improved performance over the first PSG leg against arguably a much better side. Let's hope we get three at the Camp Nou. Hashtag MUFC. If we can get three goals in Paris, why can't we get three goals in Barca, sir?
Need a little
Sign
luck, sir.
Up.
We need a little luck. And we're going to have to get that high press up to another level.
Hey, Big Luke's, he's due for a brace.
Definitely.
It's been a while.
Why not away? It's since Paris.
I know. Yeah, it's been that would be ironic. Jumping in our Twitter poll of the week. We had to have some pog drama on this podcast. Quote, would you sell Pogba to Madrid for the rumor £155 million this summer? Hashtag MUFC. Sir, we had 562 votes, and it was only, I think this thing was up for 8 hours. So a lot of people chiming in here. This is kind of hitting the masses. Surprisingly, 72% of fans voted take the money. They voted yes.
That's good money.
Take the $155 million, and only 28% saying no, do not sell them. What do you feel on this topic? Are you a sell for that amount?
I mean, 155 is good money. Pogba is a hell of a player on his day. On his day, he can go with anyone in the world. But, dude, we're playing Barcelona at home. I think he had a good performance. But, like, he got outshouted by Scott McTominay. And maybe that's because expectations are different. But Pogba's flirting openly, bro. He's, like, a little hard to handle. He's a lot of baggage. And I think he's not consistent enough. Based on where we're trying to go, I think I probably ship him for 155. He wants to go. You know, he's already looking to leave, and he's only been here for 4 years.
Yeah, he's got through 21-22 is his deal, so three more years after this year. I mean, it's one of those things where if we're not going to re-up him, this value, if we're looking to sell, that's the price tag, and it's this summer, mainly because if he doesn't come off for United next year, his price will probably go down.
Yeah.
And again, a lot of articles, Ole says he's not leaving. But I bet you when the summer kind of gets firing with the transfers, United might not be able to deny this. And I don't think we're going to sell him for $155 million. It'd probably be a lot of cash plus maybe a Toni Kroos, some type of deal. Madrid is trying to offload players, restructure. So I could see us getting a player. If we could get a Kroos plus 80, you know, get his fee back plus Toni Kroos, I'd take it.
Kroos and Varane's the deal.
Apparently that's not the case, but they have a few quotes on this tweet I thought were worth sharing. Really appreciate the banter. One in the no camp at Ben's Lease on Twitter. No, quote, no, because I have absolutely zero confidence that Woodward can replace him with a world-class player. I thought this
good
was a
point.
Great point.
That's a very good point.
It's like you don't want to give Woodward the money because he's probably not going to spend it. And then a yes comment here from at David Brophy 12. I like that handle on Twitter. Quote, yes, most overrated player since Balotelli back in the day. Consistently inconsistent. No football brain. Played well for about five games when he got his way and Mourinho was sacked. Now back to playing the way he did for Mourinho. Sell. Great tweet from Brophy. I mean, that I think that sums it up. That was a real kick in the shins to Paul P there. Look, the fan base is split, and when you get good money, you're getting how much over his valuation? $60 million, $65 million over his valuation? I'm going to say you probably got to sell Paul P, unfortunately. And look at who we got in the middle of the field.
Let's see how he finishes the season. That's what I say. Let's see how he
responds
in Barcelona.
If we get top four, he might be worth staying, right? Him not top four be pretty...
I don't think he'd want to stay if we don't finish in top four as well, right? That also might be a part of it.
Yeah, because he might go full sourpuss. Yeah. I want to leave. Yeah, crybaby Ronaldo style on us. You never know, sir.
It's very possible.
Only time will tell. I'm sure we're going to be hearing a lot more from Paul Pogba.
No doubt. We'll be talking. We'll be breaking it down in future pods. I guarantee you that.
Well, hey, we got a next match surf top four on the line. Manchester United versus West Ham at Old Trafford. Saturday, April 13th, 9:30 a.m. Pacific.
Generous.
Very generous kickoff. We haven't had to get up at 4:30 in the morning in a long time. Thanks to all the rescheduling for TV purposes. We've played West Ham 45 times in the league. We've won 27, drawn 12, and lost 6. West Ham is not looking too good. Chicharito, the ex-miracle man, is playing for West Ham, so he's going to be returning to Old Trafford. We did lose to them in September in London during the Red Wedding episode. Jose at the bottom and out.
Remember that, sir? It was your wedding weekend, and I think that was as bad as it got. I think that was the official Jose out weekend.
Yeah. Imagine getting up early. I think we went for a workout, and then we watched the Manchester United game and recorded a podcast, and we were like, Jose out, Jose out. And then I'm like,
I do.
I'm not going to say it wasn't as bad as the Red Wedding from Game of Thrones premiere this weekend. I'm sure a lot of you listeners are big fans. You know nothing. Jon Snow. We've won only 2 of our last 5 meetings against West Ham. They are a spoiler, looking dangerous, and the club was founded in 1895 as the Thames Ironworks and reformed in 1900 as West Ham United. They play in London, obviously, and they've been the winners of the FA Cup 3 times in 1964, 1975, and 1980. They've also been runners-up twice. The club have reached 2 major European finals, winning the European Cup Winners' Cup in 1965 and finishing runners-up in the same competition in 1976. And famously, Louis van Gaal had his rant against West Ham United for Big Sam telling everyone that LVG was playing hoofball to Fellaini.
Get your printouts.
And he famously printed out stats showing how he didn't play hoofball to Fellaini when he played hoofball to Fellaini. So, a little Manchester United-West Ham rivalry there.
Hashtag tactical genius.
And apparently, Van Gaal is out in the press telling De Ligt not to go to United, telling him to go to Man City. So the scars run deep with Louis van Gaal. He did not like
that. Oh, he's going to Barcelona, I think.
Yeah, but he apparently said, don't join United.
Yeah, sweet.
So he's
actively out there
talking smack to Dutch players, telling them not to join Manchester United. And whatever happened, I mean, he won the FA Cup and was fired. Was it that day? Next day?
I think it was that day.
It was a bad look. But hey, we got some injuries. Let's jump into those for the physioroom.com. Matic still out. Could be back for the West Ham match. Same with Herrera. Ambiguous knock there. Baye fighting the concussion. No return date. That is no joke. Get better, Eric Baye. Antonio Valencia with the muscle injury. No return date as well. Sanchez looking like he might. His recovery is looking sooner than they expected. We haven't got word because Ole does his presser tomorrow, but he could feature maybe on the bench at Barcelona, sir. I think that would be interesting. And then we have Darmian out with that sideburn injury. It's very terrible.
It's a chronic injury. He just can't kick it.
And he's switched barbers a few times. Hasn't gotten it right. No one's been able to figure out those Italian sideburns. Booking the bookies, sir. So are they paying the big bucks? MUFC -244 to beat West Ham at home. I mean, I haven't seen odds like this in a while. West Ham to win +759. The draw +407. We only lost by 1 to Barcelona, so I'm sure we're going to beat West Ham by 8, right? That's how it works. We're going to play that well against
West Ham. We got a goal differential that might matter, so we should start battering teams if we can.
And this would be a great statement, you know.
5-0, right? We haven't had a 5-0 since Ole's first game in charge.
Cardiff City. Sir, lineup, what do you got?
So, sir, my starting 11, I got Dave Sayes. Who else in net? I got a back four of Dalot, Smalling, Lindelof. And I think Darmian gets over his sideburn infliction based on our selection options because Young is unavailable with the red and Shaw is unavailable with the accumulation of yellows. I got a midfield 3 of Fred, Pogba, and McTominay. McSauce ready for another masterclass. And a front 3 of Mata, Martial, and Romelu Lukaku.
All right, sir, my starting 11, I got Dave Saves Net. I got Marcus Rojo, sir, Smalling and Jones, and Dalot on the right, like you had said you wanted to see, McTominay, Fred, Pogba in the midfield. And I'm going to go Martial, Lukaku, and Lingard. I think that gets the job done. What is your score prediction?
Sir, 3-0. Clean sheets, 3 points. Let's go to Barcelona, baby.
Say 5-2, barn burner at Old Trafford. We're due to just, like, kill a team at home. I think Chicharito will probably get a goal. Everyone clap him up. And that we'll be back onto Barcelona, sir. Target on the Champions League final. United in the news, sir. Big article here. We alluded to it at the top of the pod. Herrera to sign for PSG on $200,000 a week, 3-year deal, tier one. This is apparently done. It has come out from every endpoint. Even ESPN has their greasy little mitts on this story. How do you feel about Herrera? Why do you think he's leaving Manchester United? What are the dynamics that pushed him out?
So I think this is a little bit of us not being proactive in retaining players that we had signed only a couple years ago. And some of these players, midfield players, moving from another league, take years to kind of like get used to the league, hit that level where they can consistently be counted on. And Herrera, you know, he might develop into a squad player eventually, but he is a consistent performer for us. We should have re-signed him to a new deal last year. Before, it was like 6 months from contract, and you know some team can get him for free. And we know the market now. Teams can get people for free, and that means that they can pay them bigger contracts because they do not have to pay signing fees, right? And then that makes it very competitive if a club has a contract that's winding down, right? It happened with Ramsey at Arsenal.
Well, we don't have to pay him sign-on fees either, so, right?
We don't, but we should have re-signed his contract earlier before he had, you know, less than a year left and he can start talking to clubs.
So this is what this is all about, show me the money, right? So Herrera went to, I think, if I know anything about the player, he would want to stay at Manchester United if we gave him the same wages, right? It just comes down to, do you think Herrera's worth $200K a week?
I'm not sure he's worth $200K a week, but I think we could have gotten him for less if we had signed him on a renewal earlier, right?
According to, but we can't do anything about the past. So,
I think you let him walk because you screwed it up, and there's like, I think they know that they can get someone else in the open market. There are some players, some midfielders, there were some big names that are going to be available this summer for similar coin, bro. And I think they're thinking, like, we can get a Toni Kroos leaving Real Madrid that wants to do something else. Has already won 3 Champions Leagues. Maybe he wants to try England and get paid top dollar, play for one of the greatest clubs in the world in Manchester United. Maybe they're thinking
they
that.
They don't know
if
what they're doing.
If they're doing that, then I endorse the steal.
If
they're going to sign nobody and just be like, all right, we've got Scott McTominay, which I think Scott McTominay is a stud, but you still need reinforcements, then I'm worried.
This is a tough one for many reasons. Like you said, we should have done something about it earlier. Since we can't, you have to look at what is Herrera worth to this team right now. I would say taking him out of this squad hurts us. There are a lot of players that you can get rid of, like a Phil Jones wouldn't hurt us. Even like it pains me to say it, even a Juan Mata wouldn't really hurt us, right? But Herrera hurts us. And it's to what degree getting rid of him hurts us. I don't think it's too much. Like you said, if we get another, I mean, if you get Kroos in, it doesn't hurt us at all. McTominay stepping up, looking like if Fred does a job, you know, it looks like we could get rid of Herrera, but he is kind of like high work rate, central midfielder, does all the dirty work Pogba doesn't want to do. Another thing is if Pogba stays on our team, it makes it like we should keep Herrera even more because he does that role. Matic is aging, so
Herrera
again,
stepping up though. McTominay stepping up. You bought a Fred. And maybe they're identifying players in the open market that they can get for a couple.
He's a good – you shouldn't be getting rid of a player like Herrera.
3-year deal,
right?
30. You know, it's like the numbers don't add up. We should have gotten him earlier, you know, get him to – he's 32 years old.
I also kind of question the player's motives here as well. Herrera didn't strike me as a, you know, show me the money type of guy. And, you know, to have him walk when he apparently loves Manchester United, has talked up like – you know, he's a cheeky Spaniard, so I'm sure he's just doing it for play. For the fans,
but
you know, it's like he's
club.
Leaving on money. He's leaving to go sell out, to go to a club with no tradition, just for cash money. I would have thought he would have taken, you know, maybe 165 and stayed at Manchester United if he really loved the club that much.
We don't know what United offered
it's
him.
It's probably enough.
Dude, the
it's
rumor is
enough.
That like United sat on it for months and didn't do shit and should have offered him a deal. And then they finally got around to offering him a deal once everybody was playing well and Ole was winning. But that's in the club, sir. We should have locked this down earlier. I think it's easy to condemn Herrera, but like he's a professional. He's trying to do a job. He probably did love the club, does love the club.
He's
but
going to
can't
PSG
blame
for
it's,
money. The
yeah,
optics
that's how
don't
you
look
can't blame,
good.
Dude, he's got to get paid, bro. It's his last big contract.
I know, but the optics don't look good. If you're saying that you love Manchester United, you want to play for this club, I'm sure they're offering him north of 150.
But they're
I'm
not
sure
matching it. But
they're not matching that deal, but he's going to PSG for cash. So
would you take 25% less to play for the team you love?
Yeah,
probably.
I would.
Probably.
I play for Manchester United tomorrow for free, sir. I play for free.
Yeah, well.
I'd pay them.
I think they'd pay you not to play.
I'd pay Manchester United to play. I'd be like, hey, Woodward, here's $20. Can I go out and play in the midfield against Barcelona? Yeah, I'd love to do that. Yeah, it'd be great. Next bit of news. Manchester United, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer cannot see Paul Pogba leaving the club before next season. So Ole coming out, boom, shots fired in the press, and Paul Pogba not leaving. Again, I think this is just Ole doing damage control, because once the Muppetry starts going and Madrid starts courting him, I think he could leave. It's 50-50 right now, I'd put it at, if you're a bookie, right?
Sir, BAU, this is business as usual. Right? Solskjaer has to provide this kind of ground cover. Because Pogba is openly flirting Real Madrid. I think the wheels are in motion. I think it might be more than a 50% chance that this deal happens in the summer.
Next bit of news. Juan Mata offered new Manchester United deal, says midfielder's father per Sky Sports. So, you know, Sky Sports, reputable source, whether Mata will accept the new deal. How do you feel about that? I just said we could lose Mata. Wouldn't really, you know, hurt the team, the core of the team. He can come in and help us in certain situations. But as far as that Herrera engine in the midfield, you know, you get rid of Herrera, you keep Mata. I don't like the direction of this whole this summer's going already.
Well, we don't know if we're going to keep Mata, because he wants a 2-year deal. New policy is players over 30 only get a 1-year deal unless they're goalies. Right? I think De Gea over 30 is going to get whatever deal he wants. But this is more of the same, right? If Mata wants a big contract and someone else will give it to him, he might walk as well. And if that's going to be put towards money that's going to be reinvested in the club, and maybe that's part of the new direction. But as long as it's going to be reinvested, it's not just like, oh, we're saving money, players are leaving, then I'm okay with it. Because there are some young players that are ready to step up. There's the Pereiras, there is the Chongis of the world, Mason Greenwoods, and there's going to be, you know, opportunities for them to step up if a Juan Mata steps to the side.
Yeah, I mean, we shall see, sir. It's going to be an interesting summer. That's all I got to say.
Sir, but we got a reoccurring subject. What's grinding your gears this week?
Sir, it's got to be the Manchester United social media outrage machine. We saw on Twitter after this Barcelona match, I think the boys played a good game. They fought hard for the badge, exactly what we need. The manager got the tactics right. We're still in the fight. Anyone that could, Barcelona could play it against a lot of different teams, and every single team in Europe probably would take 1-0 coming out of the first leg. It's a shame it's at home. Clearly that result would be much better if it was in their house. But at the end of the day, what can you ask other than us putting the ball in the net? And you had Dalot with a great chance, Ashley Young with a lot of crosses on the wing, but again, Pogba wasn't the difference maker. Lukaku, not the difference maker. Rashford had a few sniffs, didn't get close. So can you really slate the boys? There wasn't too many clear-cut chances we couldn't put away. Again, hung in there defensively, didn't give them too many big chances. I think they only had, what, 3 shots on target against Barcelona at home. They saw the ball, didn't do much with it, and they looked shook at times. I'm going to say the boys did well. So don't listen to those Twitter accounts, those YouTube channels, those who shall not be named. I don't even think I need to say it on this podcast.
Let's not talk about it.
Because there is an outrage culture building online, I think, with everything in life. And the more that you kind of listen to that, the gut reactions, fan cams, people yelling because they're little crybabies, they didn't get the win over Barcelona like they want. Any Manchester United team, it'd be hard beating Barcelona. This Barcelona side. And this is probably one of the weaker Manchester United teams I see put out. And we almost go toe-to-toe, almost equalize. And arguably, it should have been 0-0 because that was a scrappy goal. So, I mean, I'm going to say a great performance from the team all around.
No doubt, sir. This is a better performance than we had in the 2011 Champions League final against Barcelona. Now, that was a bit much better Barcelona team, but there's nothing to hang your head about because we have everything left to play for, and I think now the boys got to really go. I think Ole's got to go for it in Barcelona because you got to get those away goals. They count for more even if you let up one.
But this grind in my gears is like you got to cut through the bull. You got to cut through that bull online, on YouTube, whatever it is, because people are saying things to get clicks. They're saying controversy for controversy's sake. And when the boys don't show up and they have a bad attitude, we call it out. And when they dig down and they fight for the badge and you have youngsters, Manchester United youth coming through, I mean, you got to applaud that.
Sir, it's dumb Twitter versus smart Twitter. Analyzing performance versus the result. And that's I think we try to do that on this podcast. If you just focus on what the score was, it's like it's not the big picture. The team responded in a major way, showed a lot of grit, a lot of heart, and I think everybody's excited for the next leg.
It's heading in the right direction. The team's heading in the right direction as long as Woodward splashes that cash. Sir, let's get into the fan questions. Thanks so much for the cheeky banter, all the comments. It was great to read them all. We couldn't get them all in, otherwise this podcast would be about 2 hours. Starting it off, at Dave Paz double Z on Twitter, Mick Sauce and Fred were great, but Youngie and Big Rom, not so. Hashtag Woodward 350. So I'm crediting Dave here with the Woodward 350. We used to say Woodward 350, but that's a thing of the past, sir. Fiddy spelled F-I-D-D-Y for those interested in that spelling.
There you go. 350. Officially three and a fitty.
Next tweet, at Noron Zufli on Twitter, I thought Fred played the Herrera position perfectly last night. He was everywhere. McTominay looked like he is growing in confidence and ability every time he steps on the field. You can see just how raw DeLow is with that miss. He needs more consistent game time. Hashtag Man United. I think this tweet hits the nail on the head. Fred doing that work in the middle of the park. McTominay growing into his role at United. And DeLow, you know, needs a little refinement there. Sir, anything you would agree or disagree with that statement?
I wouldn't. Yeah, I think these players are going to grow in confidence because they had a big, big table to step up to against the Barcelona squad, and they showed that they can fight tooth and nail with them. So I think they're going to grow in confidence. Let's get a result against West Ham and then move on to the second leg.
At Greek Fest 1981, the lads play with heart. Like you guys said in your last podcast, as long as they play with emotion and show up, I don't care that we lost 1-0. It isn't that bad. Just a side note, I've never seen a team play the ball back to keeper so many times in a game. La Liga blows. Not only that, I'll add the cheeky dives, the Jordi Alba hitting his head
into Ashley Young
and then falling on the ground and then arguing about getting back up. Again, hitting the nail on the head here at Greek Fest 1981. And a reply to that from at Red Devil Woody. I agree, mate. Don't care if we lose 3 or 4 as long as we have a go and put in 110% effort. Play for that fucking badge on your shirt, on your back, sir. Hell yeah. Glory, glory, Man United from at Red Devil Woody. He's worth a follow if you're looking for some cheeky hot banter, bringing it hard. Again, great comments from you guys. Really appreciate the questions. We're going to go into our shout outs, top downloads, last 7 days.
Record numbers rolling in. We appreciate the downloads. Lots of good listens, trying to get as much content out to you guys as possible with a lot of games coming thick and fast.
Yeah, a lot of games, tight schedule towards the end of the season. Top four, Champions League still in it. Never say die. We are Manchester United, sir. Hit us with our top cities last 7 days.
Number one is Samanash, Washington.
That's
how you
a
doing?
First.
How you doing? Number two is Arlington, Virginia. And number three, welcome back to the top five, Oslo, Norway. Good to have you back.
Number four, Tucson, Arizona. Number five, our hometown, San Francisco, California. Number six, L.A., getting on the board. I know you're in traffic listening to this pod. Number seven, London, U.K., consistently on the board. So finish them up.
Number eight, Toronto, Canada. Number nine, Kansas City, Missouri. And number 10, Tony Pandy, United Kingdom. How you doing? How you doing?
Look, good old Tony Pandy, United Kingdom, clearing it up. And we've had some amazing cheeky reviews, sir, over the past week. We are one review away from being the most reviewed podcast on iTunes, and that is the best way for you guys to help us. That's how people find us. We want to hear your cheeky reviews, so make it funny and give us 5 stars, and we will send you a free American Red Devil stickers. I have a few that I need to send out. I need to get some stamps, so if you're waiting on a sticker, it's coming, I promise. I just ran out because we had sent out so many stickers. Like, yeah, I got to keep going back to the post office, sir.
Good use of stamps, sir. Keep that post office employed.
If you have any spare stamps, I'll take them.
Sir, I'll bring some over. Yeah, I had no idea. You know, we got to get those stickers out
really
because
cool.
The reviews are coming in. We're at 103. We're getting there, but we need to get over the line, and we need your help in doing so. So we appreciate all the great reviews. They've been amazing.
Yeah, always hysterical, as well as please interact with us on social media. You guys kept the banter coming for the fan questions, as well as during the match. We really appreciate all the polls and featuring your guys' comments on this podcast. It's a pod made by fans, for fans, and we want to get, like you said, cut through that outrage bullshit that we see on social media, all these YouTube channels just whining and complaining like they're babies. This is Manchester United. We ain't going anywhere. Might have different owners. It might change a little bit. You might be frustrated with the summer transfer window, but this club, the history, can never be robbed from this fan base and following this team. It is an honor and a pleasure day in, day out. Sir, how does it feel?
Oh, is it the wheel, baby?